so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Now, I know that's not the one Jesus used, but it's the one Paul used. So, the Passion Translation, it is a really using today's vernacular, but it is very, very close to the translation. Now, all they have is the New Testament on the Passion Translation. They only have the New Testament, the Psalms, and I think Proverbs, and maybe the Song of Solomon. I'm not sure. But I wanted to use that today. It says this, "For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons." Now, then it gives you what is human weapons that they're talking about. Using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power. I love this. To effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Is that incredible? We can, I love this too, man. I just love it. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up, in defiance of the true knowledge of God. I want you to underline, we capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one. Wow, do you like that? Verse 6. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Amen. I want to talk to you today about different thinking. Different thinking. Thank you, musicians. Different thinking is what we want to talk about. Well, Pastor, I want to know how to get out of debt, and I want to know how to take the powers of hell. Well, you got to think differently in order to do that. See, we have to understand that this warfare that you and I are in the spirit, is different than the natural warfare. We've got to recognize that you're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. Now, some of you may go, well, Pastor, I don't really understand all that. I don't know anybody who understands all of it. And if anybody goes, I understand completely, run from them. Because they're lying. But we do have some glimpses into what is happening. And the reality is, I want you, without scaring you, without getting woo, without getting into the twilight zone, I want you to understand that there are spiritual demonic forces that hate your guts and want to demise you, to destruct you, and cause you to have a life where you not only live in hell, then you go to hell. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life in this life, and that you may have it more abundantly in this life, and then guess what? We go to heaven. Now that's the one I'm going to choose every day. But the problem with so many Pentecostals, and that's what we are, the problem with so many of us is that we decide, well, you know, I'm just waiting on heaven, trying to make it through to heaven. Nobody knows the struggles I've seen. And you live through hell trying to get to heaven. And listen to me. There are battles, and battles are not pleasant. Anybody who's ever been in a battle and you thought, man, that was fun. No, you were in a massacre. Because a battle is that you punch and they punch back. There's a big old boy that goes to our church. He's 6'5", about 240 pounds, knows karate. And I asked him one time, I almost called his name, have you ever been punched in the nose? He said, no. Have you ever been hit in the face? No. I said, then I'd whip you all over this church, one hand tied behind my back. Because how many knows that this goes out when your head goes back, right? I mean, it's one thing to have a theory about fighting, but it's another thing when bullets are flying by you. I asked one guy who went into combat, and this was here recently in the last 10 years, and he goes, I said, come on, tell me the truth. How was it? He said, I ain't gonna lie, I was scared to death. He said, I just threw my gun up over it. He said, I was just firing rapidly. He said, I was scared. And so it's one thing for us to go, come on, devil. You don't understand what you're doing. You better be going, God, are you here? First. Okay, now come on, devil. And let the Lord fight your battle, right? Let the Lord win the battle. Let the Lord win the victory. But in order for that to happen, you've got to think differently and have different thinking. Because the world thinks that we are ignorant and crazy because of the way that we think. And I've told you many, many times that if you don't change the way that you think, and if you were a jerk before you got saved, now you're just a saved jerk. But if you will change your thinking, Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. So that tells me that I've got to change the way that I think, which in turn changes the way I talk. Oh, Myrtle, it's going to be one of them name it and claim it. No. I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it and blabbing it and grabbing it. The problem with is too many of us say what we don't believe. And therefore you don't have results. So what you truly say, many of us, we truly say what we truly do believe. We believe, well, I ain't ever going to get out of this. So therefore you say, I ain't ever going to get out of this. So therefore you believe, I'm not ever going to get out of this. And the truth is you're never going to get out of that. Not with that thinking. If you think that I can never be better, then you're never going to be better. If you think I'm always going to be a sinner, I'm always going to be hooked to pornography, I'm always going to be hooked to drugs, I'm always going to be hooked to this kind of thinking, then you will. But God sent His Word to straighten out our stinking thinking. And if I will get this Word in my spirit, then I will change the deceptions and the manipulation of the devil. I'm trying to. See, it doesn't take long to change your world. In fact, you can change your world just like that. You can. Just like that. How, Pastor? You got to change your thinking. You got to change your thinking. All right, let's go. Let's talk about it. Point number one is this, and if you have a YouVersion, YOUVersion, the Bible app, then you can go to events and you can have my notes on your apps, you can download them, whatever you want to do with them. Just don't sell them, because I already bought these. Number one is this, thoughts are the fabric/material of your life. If you don't think that your thoughts are important, you are today the sum total of what you've thought and done. Thoughts and action. But the problem is we think the way that our parents have always taught us to think. You know, I love this story. Years and years ago, they would cook this ham every Christmas, and they would cut off the end of the bone. They would take a handsaw or a bone saw and just cut it off. And so one day, the mother that was cooking, she goes, Mom, or the daughter says, Mom, why do we cut off this end of the ham? She goes, you know, I don't know. My mother always did it, so therefore we did. I just have always done it. Well, she's in the kitchen or in the living room. Let's go ask her. Mama, why did you always cut off the bone of the ham and then cook it? She goes, you know, I don't know. My mother always did it, so therefore I've always did it. Well, great-grandma is out on the porch, and she's rocking in a rocking chair. Let's go ask her. Well, great-grandma, why did you cut off the portion of the ham with the bone? She goes, easy. I didn't have a pan big enough to put it in. And so we take traditions as logic, or traditions as truth, and therefore we live in a dilapidated state in the confines of a thought that is not even God thought. And therefore we wonder, why does everybody else look happy and you look miserable? And why does the world look happier than you? Because probably they are, because you're in a prison of your thoughts, a prison of your mind. But Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. And we've got to understand what the truth is. Experts estimate that the mind thinks 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts a day. That's an average of 2,500 to 3,300 thoughts per hour. That's incredible. No wonder I'm so tired. My wife said sometimes, well, she's a pastor. She said, baby, you shouldn't say everything you think. I said, sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking until I say it. According to the National Science Foundation, check it out now, 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. But according to the National Science Foundation, 80% of the thoughts are negative. And 95% of the 80% of the 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day are repetitive. Is that you keep thinking about it? How many knows that? How does sleep escape you? You lay down and begin to rethink things. You know, I have trouble shutting my mind off. Some of y'all are happy that I have one. But anyway, I have trouble shutting it off. Because things just repetitive. Things I should have got done today. Things I need to get done. Things that I didn't write down on my to-do list. Things that, what am I going to do about this situation? What about that? They need prayer. This, that, and the other things. Listen, if we repeat those negative thoughts, we think negative more than we do positive. And you wonder why you're not happy. You're creating your own environment. You're creating, and you're like, well, I just need Jesus. Well, Jesus needs you to capture your thoughts. But see, this ain't news to the Bible. The Bible reported this thousands of years ago, before there was any kind of research. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says, and then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was evil continually. You ever think about, you don't have to teach your kids to lie? You ever think about, you don't have to teach them to you know, lie a little bit? You know, we had our future grandson up at the house yesterday in the afternoon, and he told me that I was his best friend. Boy, that just warmed my heart. Then a little bit later, he told me to get away from him. I love this. I was trying to put him down for a nap, and he didn't want me on the bed. And so he goes, no, Papa Wani. He said, I just need some space. He's three. I said, I'll give you some space. I'll give you a knockout, boy. My children are real happy that there's a small one in because I got new preaching material. I don't have to use them. But notice where the thoughts are in this scripture. Where are they at? They're thoughts of his heart. that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and they're in his heart. When the Bible speaks of the heart, more often than not, it is referring to the inner man. It's referring to the soul. It's referring to the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so for the purpose of this teaching, I'm going to refer to it as the mind. So cognitive behavioral therapists have a term for this constant negativity. Its acronym is ANTS, A-N-T-S, automatic negative thoughts. And how can, am I right there? Oh, I'm doing good. Therapist over here. So I was like, when I wrote that down, I was like, all right, now, that's what Google said. But I know who I got in my church. I hope that's right. All right, so anyway. ANTS. So how can you be happy with ants crawling around in your mind? Right? How can you be, no wonder you're so tired. ANTS are just, I had to go somewhere Thursday night, and I booked a hotel room, and I got in the bed, and it was just me and some friends, apparently. Because I was laying in bed, I went, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. And I got up and left that bed, went over to the next bed. Ooh, this is much better. You can't think, you can't sleep. But when you have these negative thoughts running around in your life, how can you live a good life when you've got ants crawling around in your mind? All negative thoughts are not bad. And that's what makes us, makes us have to look at every thought. Wait a minute, Pastor, you want me to capture 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day? Yeah, you're going to be a little bit tired. But being alert can help you survive most negative thoughts that are dangerous. They create imagery. They create drama. They create fear. They create trauma in your mind. Now, most negative thoughts have five things. Man, I'm already 18 minutes into this thing. All right, so most negative thoughts focus on five things. I'm trying to help somebody. They focus on your fear or fears. They focus on your insecurities. They focus on, number three, your losses. I'll give you a little bit of time to write those down. Go back for me, Ryan. Your fears, because things that you already fear, the devil likes to multiply that, complicate it. The things that you're insecure over, you know what I'm talking about. You're insecure about something, you know people are talking about you and because you're insecure. I know people who can't even watch a football game because every time the team gets in a huddle, they think they're talking about them. Oh, I knew it, they're talking about me again. Or about your losses. And everybody in this room has a loss of some kind somewhere. Well, Pastor, I don't have any loss. You ever lost a goldfish? You got a loss. Number four, things that stress you out regularly. Things that stress you out regularly. Well, what are they? Whatever it is that stresses you out, they might be different. You know, is there going to be enough money to pay the rent? That stresses me out. Is there going to be enough money for the people who owe me to pay me? That stresses me out. And then number five, things that irritate you about other people. Some of y'all are constantly irritated by other people. I read this the other day. I'm not sure. So I read this the other day that sometimes that what irritates us about other people is what we struggle with in ourselves. I almost cussed when I read that. That I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. People don't think that what they think matters as if it can remain hidden. What I think don't matter. I can think whatever thoughts I want to. No, you can't. Because those thoughts create action. Give me the next one, Ryan. Your thoughts cannot be kept secret. They're going to come out. Why? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matter of fact, one well, I don't know if he was a psychologist or a sociologist. What was Freudian? What was Freud? Psychoanalyst. So he was psycho himself. But anyway, he was a psycho. But he said it's called, they call it a Freudian slip, that you say things that deep down in your recesses of your mind that you think. And sometimes we do that. You know what I'm talking about? We say things that we're afraid of. And we say it because it just comes out. That's why you got to bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. That's why you got to capture every thought. If you want to live the victorious life that I'm talking about today, and the victorious life that we sang about today, then you've got to go on the offense and quit being on the defense all the time and say, I can't help these thoughts that come into my mind, but I can stop them from becoming a house or a home in my mind. See, the Bible is the source material, and it supports this quote because Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh, so is he. Point number two, we live in the same state, and I'm not talking about Florida. We all live in the state of our minds. One author said, a beautiful state. That's where I want to live. A beautiful state. Well, Pastor, what is a beautiful state? It is when you think thoughts of love, joy, and I'm not talking about hippie. I mean, no, I'm talking about hippie love. Oh, I can't stand hippies. Most of them from California, but they ain't just in California. Oh, flowers in their hair. Ha! Come on. You ain't got to worry about getting hijacked from nobody on smoking weed. Hey, man. Let me have them nachos. Let me have them Cheetos. Let me move on. They think thoughts of love, joy, gratitude, awe, playfulness, ease, creativity, drive, caring, growth, curiosity, or even appreciation. That's a good place to live in. That you're being grateful. That you have gratitude. That you have joy. That you're in awe. That you're in playfulness. I love playfulness. Right? I love ease. I love creativity. I love growth. I love even curiosity. And I love appreciation. Or a suffering state where a lot of us live is when you feel stressed out, worried, when you feel like frustrated, angry, distressed, irritable. I'm not talking about before your first cup of coffee. Irritable, overwhelmed, resentful, or fearful. But here's what our text said. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy. Hallelujah. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy, God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, hallelujah, we capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bows to the obedience of Christ. I can't capture your thought. You must capture your thoughts. We capture. Who's got to do it? We do. Which one of them? Every one of them. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 27 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all the filthiness from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Now, check this out. You got to recognize that God can change your heart, but even he cannot change your mind. That's why we must feed on the word of God. And it doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't put this under your pillow and wake up one day with a different set of thinking. Now, if you can do it, you can put it on the audio and let it play while you sleep and get it in your spirit. Because that's the way only some of y'all going to listen anyway. Because that's when you're going to let the word in edgewise. But let me move on. How many thoughts do we need to capture? Every one of them. Every one of them. Now, I want you to hear this part. God will not do what he requires of you. Lord, I want you to do this. He will not do what he requires of you. There's a lot of thoughts, going to take a lot of discipline, but it is doable and it is worth it. In the last few months, I've had to capture a lot of thoughts. I'm just being real. I wanted to kill a few people. I wanted to kill them and tell God they died. Right? And then some I wanted to kill and stand over top of them and say, yes, I did that. I know y'all wish I was a better pastor. Well, I wish you were better people. But I'm just being real. If you want real, that's real, right? Pastor, you shouldn't think like that. I know I had to capture it. As I was loading my AR, I captured it. Said, no, that's not godly. Plus, it's against the law. And then I'll give the church a bad name. I'll give God a bad name. And plus, I don't like the food in prison. So let's move on. I like my wife. I don't want a new one. Let me move on. Woo! Pray for me, saints. Pray for me. Here's what Mahatma Gandhi said. A man is but the product of his thoughts. What he thinks he becomes. That's what the Word of God says already anyway. Can I tell you, all these gurus, all they're doing is quoting principles of God's Word. I mean, let me give you Lao Tzu. He says, watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. Oh, my God, that's good preaching. Point number three. Think about what you're thinking about. Think about, Pastor, you could have did a little bit better. No, I want everybody to get it. Think about what you're thinking about. Think about what you're thinking. Because there was a guy that he and his wife were having issues. And all she did was think negative about him. And this was many years ago. And so the marriage counselor asked her, says, can you think of any good thing about him? And she goes, well, he takes a bath every day. That's the only good thing you can say about him? Yep. Is he's a clean man. And that's all. And he said, focus on that for the next 30 days. And would you know that their marriage started getting better? Because she began to look at the good and not the negative. Let me help you. I don't have this on my notes. I don't have it on the screen. But I got to tell you that it takes absolutely no power to see the negative. That's what you're geared to. It just goes right to the negative. You ever meet anybody that they can tell you everything what's wrong with everybody? Well, I'll tell you. That Tony, his hair is too long. And that Robert, his hair is too short. Because he's bald. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that Mike, his hair is too red. And they'll just break people down. But how about finding something good? Sometimes you got to look. Hang on, Pat, I'm searching. But you can, what I'm saying, it takes some effort to find something good about somebody. But if you will do it, it will work in you or for you. Listen, your mind does not operate in a vacuum. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. You can't evict bad thoughts without replacing them with productive thoughts. You've got to replace them. What? The Bible says think on those things which are pure, which are lovely, right? The Bible teaches us this stuff, but well, that's not psychoanalyst. We don't need this. All we need is the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is trying to teach you. Philippians 4:8 from the New Living Translation. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Think on true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think on these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Pastor, how do you do that? All right, just like this. You ready? Man. Whew. This vest is a little tight. Well, thank God I can afford this vest. Just, Pastor. No, I'm serious. Yeah. Boy, they bought me new shoes for the wedding. What's wrong with these shoes? Right? Thank God that I had the money to pay for the new shoes. Right? Thank God that these shoes are still working. Oh God, I'm getting old, but thank God I was able to get up in my right mind today. My God, somebody, come on. Thank God I was able to put myself on the toilet. Come on, somebody. Yeah. No, I think about those stuff. Thank God for hot water. Thank God for clean water. Lord, I thank you that I'm able to get dressed myself today. Lord, I'm thankful. You just got to turn it around. You got to replace bad thoughts with the good thoughts. I can't believe my car broke down. Well, thank God I had a car to break down. Right? My daddy was great at that, man. I've told this story before. My daddy was a consummate. He didn't even understand. He was 87 when he died a couple of years ago. But he didn't understand the concept of praise and worship, really. But I told him, I was going, you don't know it, Pops, but you're a worshiper. You're a praiser. He goes, well, I said, remember when I was in senior school? We was in that old broke-down blue Maverick that was the side was mashed in. Everybody had to get in on the driver's side. And I had missed the bus to going to school, and he was driving me to school. And we broke down. And when we broke down, he said, well, praise the Lord. And I was up to here with breaking down and praising God. And I said, so I decided to take him to task. What you praising God for? We're broke down. He looked at me and grinned and said, because I got you to help me push. You got to know how to praise the Lord in the good times and in the bad times. Everybody can praise God when somebody gives you $1,000 or $100. But can you praise the Lord when you made a mistake in your bank account? Can you praise the Lord when somebody walked out of your life? Can you praise the Lord when you're sick in your body? You better find something to praise God over, because you got to think differently if you want to live differently. Would you just take about 30 seconds and give God praise for something in your life? Lord, I worship you. You're worthy to be praised. All right, let me finish. Your mind is like into a garden, which may be cultivated, cared for, seeded, and it produces beauty, peace, and love. I love the old farmer. The preacher came out to the old farmer and he looked at this big old spread and goes, wow, man, God has done a great work here at this farm. And the farmer said, yes, he has. But Lord, you should have saw it when God had it by himself. All right? Because that's what we do, guys. We come to church and we give an altar call and we get our life to Jesus and we go, yes, Jesus. Then we think it's God's the rest of it. No, we got to capture. I got to grab some of them weeds from my dad. I got to grab some weeds from my mama. I got to grab some weeds from life. Weeds that happened that I've got to struggle. You know, listen, for a long time I couldn't pray for cancer because my mama died from cancer. My brother died from cancer. My other brother died from cancer. And it was hard for me to pray for somebody with cancer. But I had to grab up those weeds. And just because I refuse to let the word of God be reduced to my experience, I know that the word of God is stronger than my experience. It's more powerful than my past. It's more powerful than my future. And I've got to think on those things which are true. And I believe that God heals cancer. Come on, somebody. If you allow your mind to run wild and neglect it, it produces weeds, thorns, and love. Or not love. That's the other one. Thistles. You know people like that. You're probably sitting close to somebody like that right now. That they've been saved so long, but they're petrified. instead of sanctified. They're petrified and putrefied. And deep fried, most of them. Come on. Ain't got no love. Just always. You want to win somebody these, you ought to come serve Jesus. Look at what it did for me. Ain't nobody want to be like you. Oh, mean and nasty and ugly. Hallelujah. Either cared for or neglected, it will bring forth a produce. Luke 6:45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of his good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Come on, help me shut up. Because, man, I got some more stuff. What you fixate your mind on impacts every condition and circumstance of your life. What do you fixate? What you fixate your mind on. God's thoughts bear good fruit. Bad thoughts, bad fruit. You are literally what you think. Your character, your attitude, your condition is the sum total of all of your thoughts. We are beat up by circumstances. And as long as we live, we are subject to outside circumstances. Me and God don't have trouble. I have trouble when God introduces other people into my world. Right? And other things. Me and God don't have trouble. Me and the bank have trouble. Right? But because something else has been introduced. Like I made decisions to buy stuff I couldn't afford. No, I'm not there in the name of Jesus. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. But that's where most people get in trouble. Oh, how much are the payments? $35? I can afford $35 a month. For 17 years? Sure. The word of God said in Proverbs 4:23, I believe it is, to guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So that's why you got to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. All right, listen. Circumstances do not make the man. Circumstances only reveal the man. Well, I never thought that was in him. Oh, Jesus. I got to find somebody to get close to. Come here, Bobby. I trust you. Come here. She the only one you trust? Yeah. I was saying that, Bobby, but come on, Bobby. I'll do you. That way you can shut me down if I need to. Some of y'all ain't ever committed adultery because you ain't ever had the opportunity. Oh! Help him, Lord. What do you mean by that? I would never do that. You don't know you'd never do that. Ain't nobody ever stepped to you because you're so mean. Nobody wants your stanky self. I'm just kidding. I got to change that at 11 o'clock. My wife will be here. She'll get on to me. And y'all better not tell on me, Rick. You understand what I'm saying? Papa said sometimes. What I'm saying is if you've never been tempted, then you don't know what you would do. Well, I would never kill somebody. Oh, in the right circumstances, I would shoot them graveyard dead. And I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gotta be way up there either. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Somebody used to ask me, I used to work at Greer's grocery store and we'd make $50,000 deposits a day. And I had $50,000 in cash. And that's back before they had debit cards and stuff. And they would say, you ain't ever tempted? And I, before the Lord, I never was tempted. I was looking to say, good Lord, I could just leave with all of this. But I never was tempted. But some of you can't put $2 in front of you before you try to take one. Circumstances do not make the man. Circumstances only reveal the man. None of us can choose our circumstances. If we could choose our circumstances, stuff would be different. If I could choose my circumstances, broccoli would taste like Snicker bars. Brussels sprouts would be Reese's cups. If I could choose my surroundings, I would choose that I would have a house with no mortgage, a church with no mortgage. If I could choose my surroundings, I would choose a worship leader that was a lot better looking than this one. If I could choose my surroundings. If I could choose my surroundings, I would have a six-pack, pow, 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 instead of two kegs, pow, pow. If I could choose. But we can choose our thoughts and by them shape our outlook. It's good preaching, Pastor. Focus our energy and eventually change our circumstances. When we master our thoughts, we cease being victims of circumstances. Proverbs 22 says, "Incline thine ear, hear the words of the wise, and apply to your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips." I'm going to say that again. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. Instead of complaining, gossip, negativity, you put God's word, and what will come out is the word of God. Man, I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you don't know how to pray because you're praying your thoughts. Why don't you try praying the word of God? "For thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Come on, somebody. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are my provision. You are my rock. You are my high tower. You go before me and make the crooked places straight." See, do you understand? I'm not praying my thoughts. I'm praying the word of God. And if I begin to pray the word of God and speak the word of God, then that's what's on my thoughts. And then therefore my thoughts will shape my outlook, and my outlook will change my circumstances. As I bring this surface to a close, I want to encourage you to have different thinking today. Make an effort to bring your thoughts into captivity and obedience to the anointing of God. I heard one guy preach on this subject, and I love the way he put it. He said, "How do you do that? You ever been to, nowhere around here, but you go to some places and they got that revolving door? And they have an expensive hotels. You got to prove you belong there. You got to show them your card, your identification, because they will stop you, the doorman. And you got to put a doorman on your thoughts. Oh, is this good? Is this bad? I ain't going to tell you again. You better get on over yonder. Is it a bad thought? I told you my last time. You better get over there. Get out." Right? Is this thing true? Is this thing honorable? If it's not honorable, if it's not, then replace it. My last slide is this. Those who think differently will live differently. Aren't you tired of living depressed, begrudging, always in an uproar? Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's just the way it is, man. Think differently, live differently. I'll tell you this last story. And as I'm telling this story, Spirit Life team, come. I was pastor at Blountstown Church of God. And I'll never forget it. I've never experienced this before or since, because I think I recognized it. My wife, whom I love dearly, she saw me and she goes, "Baby, do you feel okay?" I go, "Well, I'm fine." "Why?" "You look a little peaked." "Well, no, I'm fine." "You look a little flush in your face." "I feel great." "Well, baby, you don't look so good. You want me to make you some chicken soup?" "Well, I probably wouldn't mind some chicken soup. I'd probably, now that you mention it, ooh." I'm telling you, before the night was over, I was in the bed with a cold rag on my head with some chicken soup. That woman talked me right into being sick. Now, I wish it was that easy, but y'all, I'm trying to give you a point here. I'm not telling you, and please don't leave here, because I don't need any more marriage counseling needed. I don't want you leave here being one another's speech police. Ooh, I don't feel good. You better not say that. I don't want you, but I do want you to capture every thought. And is it godly? Is it pure? Is it virtuous? Is it honorable? If it is, let me let it in. If it's not, then no, I got to replace it. You can't just say no. You got to replace it. You got to replace it. Your mind doesn't operate in a vacuum. You got to replace it. See, right now, some of you are like, "I just wish Pastor would shut up. I'm hungry. And I'm ready to go get some breakfast." Some of you are like, "I got to get my family focus hour, my group." And I understand that. Some of you are like, "Well, I'm fine. I don't even know what he's talking about." And you need Jesus. If you don't know without a shadow of a doubt, if Jesus were to come back, pop, right now. If you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven, then you need Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus and you need Jesus, maybe you know him and you're not where you need to be, but you want to get it right, would you slip up your hand? Just put them up right now. "I see that hand. God bless you. I see that one. God bless you." Anybody else? "I see that one. God bless you." Anybody else? I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. And listen, look at me for just a minute. If you will mean this prayer in your heart, not just say some words or repeat what I... No, if you mean it in your heart, according to Romans 10:9, you shall be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit myself to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Change me. Help me to be the man or woman that you've called me to be. And from this day forward, I will serve you, follow you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.